আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন والصلاه والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله
The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam reported to said that the one who recites salat upon me 100 times 100 times. Now before I give you the blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak 100 times, think about the time that it takes to recite Durood-e Pak 100 times. Is it going to take hours? Is it going to take 8 hours, your whole day? Reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will probably only take you 5 minutes, maximum 5 minutes. And when you leave here tonight on the way home, unless you live next door to the masjid, you can very, very easily recite Durood-e Pak 100 times, very easily. So make a habit. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who recites Durood-e Pak upon me 100 times, Allah azza wa jal will write between both of his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and is free from the fire of hell. And on the day of judgment, Allah azza wa jal will keep him with the martyrs. Subhanallah. And my dear Islam brothers, how long does that take to recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 100 times? You know, my dear Islam brothers, in our lives, in our daily lives, there's a lot of times where we are waiting for things to happen. You know, we're waiting to see the doctors. We sat in the doctor's surgery, we're waiting to be seen. Similarly, if it's a dentist. We've got a business, we're running a business, we're waiting for our next customer. We're running a taxi, we're waiting for our next job. All these waiting times. You know, if you were to add up all day in your daily routine, how many times you are waiting for things to happen. Yeah, you sat in the car waiting for your family to come out and get in the car before you can drive off. All these waiting times that you have, if you don't utilize them properly, then that waiting time will become wasted time. And one of the best ways of using that time is reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So please make a habit of not having any time that is wasted and using it in the best way. Who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite might make all the difference on the day of judgment. My dear Islam brothers, we just give you one example of time. The fact that we waste a lot of time and we need to utilize that time. And inshallah today and today's beyond, we're going to talk about the value of time, the importance of time. And inshallah, I hope that we can learn some Madani pearls today. Not only the Madani pearls that we learn today, we learn them, remember them, act upon them and pass them on to others as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the blessed mother of Sayyidina Sulaiman bin Daud alayhi salatu wasalam has said, "O my son, do not sleep till later the night, for sleeping too much at night will leave a man poor on the day of judgment." Allahu Akbar. Basically, sleeping too much, that sleeping time, although it is needed, excessive sleeping is also a waste of time as well. Now the human body only needs a certain amount of sleep. But if we take that to excess, then again that time is being wasted. So we mentioned earlier about waiting for a job and that time's wasted unless we utilize it. But if we're sleeping excessively, then that can also be wasted time. It is stated in Jannat-e-Zewar, published by Maktabat-e-Madina, the publication department of Dawud Islami, that all the pious predecessors of the past have said, hold firm to three habits: less talking, less sleeping, and less eating. Because excessive talking, excessive sleeping, and excessive eating are all bad habits, and a person suffers due to these habits in this world and the hereafter. Now if we look at them three: excessive sleeping, excessive talking, and excessive eating. How many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, and we have to be honest with, we should always be honest with ourselves, that how many of us talk too much, how many of us eat more than is required, and how many of us sleep more than is required? And all of these things can have a detrimental effect on us. Because when you talk too much, then every word that you speak, you're going to be held accountable for on the day of judgment. So excessive talking, unless it is controlled talking, can have a problem as well. Excessive eating can have a detrimental effect, not only on your health as well, but because the health is affected, it also can affect your strength and the ability to perform pious worship as well. But Islam brothers, time is something that everybody has the same amount. No matter what your status in life is, this blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the same for everybody. Just because you are rich, it doesn't mean to say you get more than 24 hours a day. If you are poor, it doesn't mean to say you get less than 24 hours a day. If you are healthy, if you are young, if you are old, everybody has 24 hours a day. Everybody has been given this time. But the question is, how do we utilize this time? Sayyidina Imam Hassan Basri Ramatullahi Ta'ala Salih used to say, O son of Adam, you are a combination of different stages. Whenever any day or night passes by you, it brings one of your stages to an end. And when all of your stages come to an end, you'll reach your destination, i.e. Jannat or the hellfire. Now the question is, again, is how many stages do we have in our life? That's another question, because we don't know this. So this time, it is limited. We know it's limited. And if you go to the graveyard, you can see yourself that there's 80-year-older, there's a 90-year-older, there's a 70-year-older. But at the same time, there's a 25-year-old, there's a 15-year-old, there's an 18-year-old, there's a 7-year-old. There is nothing, no differentiation between these people. And this death, this time, we're all in a queue. Each and everybody that's in this room today, we're in a queue. We're in this line. And this line is such that you can't get out of the line and go to the back. You can't get out of the line and move to the front. You are in that line. And your position is fixed. So everybody that's in this room today, we're all in that line. Now we don't know where our position is in that line, but you're in that line. And you can't get out of that line. And your time will come when you will be called, when you're at the front of that line. So what is actually meant by valuing time? What is the importance of time? Allah Azza wa Jal gives us a beautiful explanation in the Quran. A whole surah is dedicated to this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Asr. In the last para of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, by this error of the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, indeed mankind is surely in loss, except those who believed in Islam, did good deeds, and advised one another towards truth, i.e. all kinds of good deeds, and advised one another to have patience at the time of any kinds of suffering. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to us that everybody is in loss, except those people that perform these actions that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions. The renowned commentator of the glorious Quran, Mufti Ahmad Arkhan Naimi Ramatullahi Ta'ala, has stated, Man is wasting his true capital. What is the true capital that we all have? Our life is our true capital. Man is wasting this capital. How is he wasting it? Mufti Saab says that you're wasting it in kufr, you're wasting it in sin, you're wasting it in heedlessness, you're wasting it in seeking the world and in fun and in amusement. He goes on to say he does not make it a mean for making his hereafter better. He says that man is a trader. We're all traders. Life is a shop, and his deeds are the products in his shop. Your life is a shop, and your products are your deeds. Now, if your products are good, i.e. if your deeds are good, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will buy them goods in exchange for paradise. But if your deeds are bad, i.e. you've been committing sins, then Shaitan will buy them deeds, and your destination is the hellfire. So my dear Islam brothers, our lives, you know, are very important, what we do during our lives and what time we use. Imam Fakhruddin Razi Ramatullahi Ta'ala has quoted a blessed saying of a blessed saint. He said that I understood the true meaning of Surah Al-Asr, i.e. the importance of time. There was a person selling ice. He was selling blocks of ice. And he said, have mercy on the one whose capital is melting. Have mercy on the one whose capital is melting. Meaning that, you know, buy these goods off me as soon as possible, because my capital, my goods, they are disappearing. And in the same way, our life is like that block of ice. Our life is like that block of ice. If you don't utilize it properly, it's going to melt. And it depends on you how you utilize that ice. If you use that ice for beneficial purposes, then you'll get benefit. But if you use that ice, you know, to damage people, to hurt people with it, then again, you're not going to get any benefit from you. And that ice is disappearing quickly. Sooner or before, within a short space of that time, the ice will disappear, it'll become water, and it won't be visible. And our lives are exactly the same thing. Our lives are like them blocks of ice that are melting in front of us. The question is what are we going to do with this? So our lives are very, very valuable, my dear friends. So we need to look at our lives and look at how we use our lives and how we utilize our lives and what we do with our lives. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we waste our time. And we need to think, what are we doing with our lives? It is stated that Sayyidina Abu Bakr bin Abdullah Muzni, Ramadullah Ta'ala, said that a person from Bani Israel, he hoarded wealth. He had a lot of wealth. And when the time of his death approached, he said to his son, show me my different possessions. And they brought horses, they brought camels, they brought slaves, they brought all these goods in front of him. And when he saw all these goods, he started to cry. Seeing him crying, because he was just close to his death, Malak al-Maut of Sayyidina Israel Islam, the angel of death, said to him, why are you crying? He said, I swear by the one who has blessed you with all of this. The angel of death is saying to him, I swear by the one who has blessed you all of this, I will not leave until I separate your soul from your body. He pleaded, grant me a little time so that I may distribute this wealth. The angel said, no, now you would not be granted any respite. Why did you not do this before your death? Then Malak al-Maut took his soul away from him. My dear Islamic brothers, from this we can see that the wealth that we have, this wealth that we have, when we go from this earth, it's gone. As far as we're concerned, it's gone. It's not something that you can take with you. And what will happen with your wealth is that your inheritors, they will distribute it amongst themselves. And unfortunately, nowadays, we see in a lot of cases, which is very sad to see, that our inheritors, our family, our own children, our brothers, our sisters, with that wealth, they start fighting amongst themselves. They start fighting amongst themselves. And I know of many, many instances where people have passed away 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, until this day the wealth has not been distributed. Why? Because the children are fighting amongst themselves. So when them children have passed away, and the children's children are fighting amongst themselves. So if you want to distribute your wealth, distribute it whilst you are healthy. And then you will get the sawab of it. Because once you pass away, that wealth isn't yours. You will not get the sawab of any of that wealth. Whilst you're alive, if you spend that wealth in any good cause, you will get the blessings of it. Once you disappear, once you breathe your last, that wealth is no longer yours. And whatever happens with that wealth, if they spend that wealth in a good cause, yes, as a form of sadaqah jariyah, you will get the blessings of it, but otherwise, you will not benefit from that wealth. Allahu Akbar. So we can see from this particular instance that our wealth, yeah, I'm not saying that we shouldn't earn money. Yes, we should earn money. And wealth, it is not haram in earning a lot of money as well, but the question is that wealth can become haram for us if we don't pay the zakat on it, if we don't do the hakuka wajiba such on it, such as zakat, etc. And if we use that wealth, that same money that you've earned, you may have earned it in a halal way, but if you spend it in a haram way, then that can become a burden for you as well. So earning money, yes, but that should be the be-all and end-all of everything. That should be the be-all and end-all of our lives. You know, the saying that we need money. Yes, I need money, you need money, we need to live. I came here in my car. If I didn't have money, I couldn't put petrol in the car. I couldn't have reached here. Yeah, I have food today. You have food today. That doesn't come free. It comes with money. Yes, we need to earn money. I'm not disputing that. But again, is the limit of that? And is that the best utilization of your time? Because what happens is we spend all our lives just making money, making money, making money, and realizing that that money is no benefit to us on the journey that we're going to take. So you're working hard for something. You're working really hard for something. But then when you pass away, all your life, 60 years you've been working, 70 years you've been working, what is that wealth going to benefit you? They'll go to your children. Your children will take it. And again, it's a separate topic, but if you give your children £1 million that they've not earned themselves, they will not realize the blessings of it. I'll give you an example. There was a person, he was wearing a very expensive chadar, a very expensive scarf, yeah? It was a very expensive scarf he was wearing, and he was wearing cheap shoes. A very expensive scarf and cheap shoes. And somebody, he got a bit of dust on his shoes, and somebody saw him take the scarf off and wipe the shoes. And they said to him that, you know, your scarf is very expensive. Your shoes are very cheap. Why are you using this expensive scarf to clean your shoes? And he said, this scarf was bought with the money that my father earned. Them shoes were bought with the money that I earned. This is the value of wealth. That when you earned it yourself, then you value it. In the same way that the wealth that you will pass on to your children, they will not value it in the same way as if they earned it themselves. So what I'm saying, I'm not saying don't give your children wealth, don't leave money for them. I am saying, yes, do this. It's a good thing. to leave money for your children, to leave money for the people that you're going to leave behind, yes, it's a good thing. But again, that should not be the be-all and end-all of your lives. My dear brothers, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, there are two such blessings about which many people are in deception: health and leisure time. Health and time. You know, when you have health, you think, I'm going to be healthy forever. You know, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm fit, I can work 12 hours a day, I can do this, I can do that. And you think that this is going to last forever. It doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever. And you know, we are foolish if we think that it's going to last forever, because the results of people around us that no longer have that health are there. It's not as if all those people that are ill aren't in front of us, they're there. Even in our own houses, our elders, our fathers, our grandfathers, they are there in front of us. You can see these people that are now old, these people that are struggling to walk, there was a time when they were running. There was a time when they were working 12 hours a day. There was a time when they had the strength. Now it's gone. That's going to happen to us. You know, if we live to that age, then ultimately our strength will disappear. And we think we've got strength forever. But again, the question is, what do you do with that strength? And the other thing is time, your leisure time. As certain stages in your life, you have more time in your life. At certain stages in your life, as you get older, you get more and more responsibilities. And as you have more and more responsibilities, then that time that you have, that spare time that you have, disappears. I look back at my own life, and I look back at myself and think, you know, when I was younger, I had time to do this, I had time to do that, I had time to go here, I had time to go there. Now I'm thinking to myself, how did I do it? Now I don't have the time. I'm the same person, but now I don't have that time. Then I had that time. But the real question is, when I had the time, what did I do with it? In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, value five things before five things. Value your youth before you get old. Value your health before you get ill. Value your wealth before you get poverty. Value your leisure time before you get busy. And more importantly, value your life before your death. Do we value these things? These are all blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla. All these things are blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And on the day of judgment, Allah might ask us, what did you do with these things? What did you do with that health before you got ill? What did you do with that wealth? Because wealth is something that comes and goes. Today you might have a £30,000 bank balance. You might have a £50,000 bank balance. Today you might have a really, really good job. But tomorrow, if it is in your kismet, if it is in your destiny, then you could get ill, for example. And in the blink of an eye, you can no longer earn that money that you could earn before. Today you may be on a fantastic salary, but tomorrow that could all disappear, and slowly, slowly all your bank savings could disappear. So whilst you had that wealth, whilst you were in a position to use that wealth, what did you do with it? Your time. Before you got busy, as I said earlier on, stages in your life, your time disappears. What did you do with that time? What did you do with your life before you passed away? That is the ultimate question. That is the ultimate question. And if you were to sum up your life in one sentence, what have you achieved in your life? Think to yourself, what have I achieved in my life? What have you achieved? You know what? I've got the biggest goatee back home. I've got the biggest house in the village. That's my achievement. Yeah. I've got more money than anybody in Rotherham. That's my achievement. I've got the biggest car in Rotherham. That's my achievement. Is that what your achievement is? Is that your life summed up? That this is what you've achieved? You became the most educated person in Rotherham. Is that your achievement in life? If these are your achievements, then okay. I'm not saying to you that they are not achievements. Yes, they are achievements. But will these achievements benefit you on the day of judgment? This is the question that you need to ask. What have you achieved in this dunya that will benefit you in the hereafter? Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that every day when the sun rises in the morning, the day makes the following announcement: if you want to perform any good deed, do it today, because after today I will never return. So again, we need to look at ourselves and say to ourselves, what are we doing with our time? Are we wasting our time in going, sitting in places where we're not acquiring any good deeds? Are we wasting our time by just wandering around the streets, meeting people, talking to people, but not really actually achieving anything in our lives? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, then indeed on that day you will surely be questioned regarding the bounties that Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent to you. All the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, whatever blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, the health, the fact that I can stand up in front of you, the fact that I can look at you, the fact that you can look at me, the fact that you have money in your pocket, the fact that you have the strength to earn that money, the fact that you can even digest your food. We were talking earlier on that there are people today that there's certain foods because of certain illnesses that they have, they can't eat them certain foods now. Whereas years ago, 5 years ago, they could eat them foods. But now their health has deteriorated and there's certain food that they can't eat. So the fact that you can eat the certain foods today is a blessing. Today, maybe you can eat rice. Tomorrow, you might not be able to eat rice. Today, you can have sweet dishes. Tomorrow, you might not be able to eat sweet dishes. So the fact that you can eat certain things is also a blessing on you as well. So these are all blessings. And on the day of judgment, you will be questioned. Allah Azzawajal says, then indeed on the day of judgment, you will be questioned regarding the bounties that Allah Azzawajal gave to you. Commentating on this blessed ayat, Allama Mulana Mufti Muhammad Sayyidi Naimuddin Murabadi Ramatullahi Ta'ala said, you will be questioned about those blessings which Allah Azzawajal has bestowed upon you. For example, health, wealth, leisure time, peace, comfort. Through these blessings, you used to seek pleasure and comfort for yourselves in the world. You will be asked, what uses of these things did you make? How did you pay gratitude to these things? And you will be punished for being ungrateful. One of the things that Mufti Sahib mentioned, there is peace. That we are fortunate that we live in an environment where we live peacefully. Look around you. Look around the world. There are people that are struggling. People do not have the food that we have, do not have the shelter that we have, do not have the comfort that we have, do not have the protection that we have. We have all of these things. So what are you doing with your time? Allah has given everything easy for you. You're not scared of your lives in this country. Your lives are not at risk. We all don't have a fear that we won't get home tonight. We will all get home tonight. If Allah wills. But there are people around the world that are not as fortunate as we are. So we're in this situation. What shukr have we done? What have we done in the court of Allah? Ya Allah, you give me all these things. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on the day of judgment, man will not be able to lift his foot. He will not be able to take one step until he's questioned about five things. What activities was his life spent on? How was his youth spent? Where was the wealth that he earned? How did he spend it to? How did he spend his wealth? And on what extent did you act upon the knowledge that you acquired? What have you done with your time? What have you done with your youth? What have you done with your wealth? What have you done with your knowledge? Have you acquired any knowledge? Again, a separate topic, but the value of knowledge. We don't value knowledge and we don't spend time in acquiring knowledge. There was a person I met not long ago, and he said to me that his father had passed away many years ago, but his father was a tailor. His father was a tailor. And you know, in past times, when people became a tailor, they used to go and sit with the master tailor. Yeah. And the master tailor used to teach them, and used to take this like apprenticeship, used to take months, years, you know, for maybe months they were just sewing a button, and for months they were just doing this, and for months, and so this apprenticeship used to take ages. And he said that my father, when he was a student, when he was apprentice of the master tailor was ignorant. The master tailor couldn't read, and he couldn't write. But because he was a master tailor, he was wealthy. And this master tailor, he had the thirst for knowledge. But he couldn't read and he couldn't write. So he employed somebody. And this person's job was all day long just to read books to him. He paid somebody a full-time job just to read books to him. Why? Because he had this thirst of knowledge. What is our excuse? We don't have to pay anybody to read a book to us. We have no excuses for not acquiring that knowledge and not utilizing that time. But now if we look at our size, we're wasting our time. So my dear Islamic brothers, time is a very small word, but in reality it's a very precious thing. And this time, if it is utilized properly, if you look in the past, those people that have utilized their time properly have been successful in this world. Whole nations, where they planned and they used the time properly, they've been successful. Even if you look at it from a dunyavi point of view, from a worldly point of view, youngsters that have wasted their time, they don't go on to become the doctors, the lawyers and the barristers. But those youngsters who utilize their time properly, they become the elite of the community in the future. In the same way, think about it, if these people can utilize their time properly and can become the elite of the community, just think about those people who can utilize that prior time properly in acquiring good deeds, they might not be the elite of this community, but they'll be the elite of the hereafter. So the question is what are we doing with our time? It is narrated by Sayyidina Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Zayed that I heard Sayyidina Abu Bakr Attar radiallahu ta'ala saying, when Sayyidina Abu Qasim Junaid passed away, some of my friends and I were present there. We saw that just before he passed away, he was giving salah, he was offering salah. And whilst he was offering salah, he was so weak that his feet were swollen. And whilst performing ruku and sujood, he would bend one of his feet, which would cause such severe pain and trouble. On seeing his state, his friend said to him, "What is this? Why are your feet so swollen?" And he said, "This in effect is a blessing. It is a blessing that my feet are swollen." And they said to him, "Well, is there any harm in that if you lie down and you perform your namaz?" He said, "No, I still have this strength inside me to perform good deeds." Nowadays, if we look at ourselves, little excuse, yeah, and we don't read our namaz. It's raining outside now, I'm not going to the masjid. A bit cold outside, I'm not going to the masjid. Yeah. A little bit of cold, a little bit of sniffle, or, you know, I don't think I can read my namaz. Yeah. A little bit of pain, and we make excuses not to read our namaz. These are the physical pains, but also we create this environment inside, "Oh, I'm busy." And because you're busy, yeah, you're so-called busy, you end up missing your namaz. There was a person to me, a solicitor, he said to me that one day he kind of clicked inside me. He said, "Look, it's weird that I can get a client on the phone talking to me, or I can get a colleague on the phone talking to me, and I can talk to him for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, 55 minutes, 60 minutes. He said, "When the call finishes, I can see that I'm speaking to him for 50 minutes. I don't mind. He said, "But when it comes to the time for namaz, I'm thinking, I haven't got 5 minutes. I'm a busy person. I haven't got 10 minutes to read my namaz. This shaitani whisper that I haven't got 5 minutes for reading my namaz. I haven't got 10 minutes for reading my namaz. But when it comes to talking to somebody, 50 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour, no problem." Again, these are excuses that we made. There was one person, it is narrated in Manaj al-Abudin on page 173, that a person, he passed by a big house, and he said that, "How long has it been since that you've constructed this house?" He said, "How long is it that, you know, you've made this big house, how long ago did you make this house?" Once he asked this question, as soon as he asked this question, he himself felt embarrassed and thought to himself, what a useless question. What a useless question have I just asked? What is the benefit in finding out whether he made that house 5 years ago, whether he made that house 10 years ago, whether he made that house 15 years ago? And he was so annoyed with himself, he was so annoyed with his nafs that he had wasted that time, that he decided to fast for a whole month. Again, useless talk. How many things that we do? What useless talk do we do? What time do we waste on a day-to-day basis? My dear Islamic brothers, there are certain things in our life that really harm or damage the time that we have. Like I said, no matter who you are, everybody in this room has 24 hours in a day. No matter how rich you are, you still have 24 hours in a day. Right? But there are certain things in our lives that damage that time, that devalue that time. And I'm just going to mention two or three things. Number one is the internet. We've all got internet. We've all got Wi-Fi in our houses. We all go on the internet, right? And this internet is something that can be used very beneficial. I'm not saying that it's not a beneficial tool, but it's like a sharp sword, yeah? That has two edges, and a sharp sword can be used to cut fruit, but a sharp sword can also be used to cut your own throat as well. So this internet is very beneficial, but again, if you are honest with yourselves, when you go on the internet to find some information, how long does it take you to find that information, and how long do you waste looking for other things as well? Not only looking for other things. I'm not just talking about time here. Because yes, we waste a lot of time on the internet. But at the same time as wasting that time, which could be used for gaining good deeds, unfortunately we use that time for gaining sins. So that same internet that's beneficial to us, again, not only does it waste our time if it's not utilized properly, and at the same time, it can gather a load of sins for us as well. The second thing is the mobile phone. If we really, again, are honest with us, you know, there was a time, I remember when the mobile first came out, I had a mobile phone, the very first mobile phone I had. And it had a talk 30 plan. That you were allowed 30 minutes to talk in the month. Yeah? It was like a contract phone. We all had these contract phones. And my phone was 30 minutes in a month. I never used them 30 minutes. You know, at the end of the month, the bill had come and I'd used 9 minutes, or 8 minutes, or 6 minutes, or 12 minutes. I never even got past 20 minutes. I never even got closer than 30 minutes. Now, how much time do we spend on the mobile phone unlimited calls, unlimited text messages, unlimited, internet. And this time is so much wasted. When these mobile first phones came out and there was a talk 30 plan, I used to phone, everything okay? Yeah, okay, I'll be back home soon. Crack. Everything okay? Okay. What are we having for tea tonight? Okay, do you want me to get some milk and bread on the way home? What shall I get a child? And you're talking for 10 or 15 minutes on the phone. Why? Because you've got all this time to spend on the phone. Whereas if you just say, okay, what do you need? I'll get it. Put the phone down and use that time in reciting the Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the blessing that I said at the beginning, if you recite it 100 times, you would do it very easily. But how much time do we waste? Be honest with yourself. I'm not going to say to you, but you need to be honest with yourself. And I need to be honest with myself. I need to look at myself as well. I'm not perfect. I need to look at myself and I need to say to myself, look, I have a mobile phone. I have the internet. How much time do I waste on the internet? How much time do I waste on social media? How much time do I waste on my phone? And like I said at the beginning, there are benefits in just 5 minutes. And we said that 5 minutes is all it takes to recite 100 Durood e Pak. But what time are we wasting? Another area. We mentioned the internet, we mentioned the mobile phone. Another area that damages our time, wastes our time, is the company that we keep. Because if your friends, I want you to just ponder for a second. If your so-called friends, or let's call them friends, if your friends, when you think about you, think about them, what do they remind you of? A good time, having fun, having a laugh, having a chat. Yeah, Tiga, you've had a chat, you've had a good laugh, you've had a good meal with them. But that time's wasted. If them friends, and I will call them true friends, are those friends that invite you to the masjid, those friends who take you to the masjid, those friends that brought you here today to the ishtama, those friends that spent that time in doing nikiki dawat to you, those friends who taught you a dua, those friends who taught you how to read your namaz, those friends who taught you to the Madrasatul Madina Balighan class and taught you how to read the Quran and utilize your time that way, that time is beneficial for you. And them are your true friends. And you will see that these are the people, again, you need to look at how you value your time. Inshallah, I'm just going to mention a few sayings of the pious people of the past who valued their time. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, said, "These days are the pages of your life. Decorate them with good deeds. Today is one page of your life." Okay? Life is like a book. And every day is one page. The question is, what you're putting on them pages. The famous companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud, radiallahu ta'ala, said, "I do not feel ashamed on anything else more than the day which has passed without an increase in my good deeds." Think about that. You know, a worldly person said that my day is not wasted if I've not acquired some knowledge that day. But this pious person is saying to us that my day is wasted unless I've increased the good deeds. On a day-to-day basis, what good deeds are we performing? On a day-to-day basis, what are we doing to improve our akhirat? But if I was to say to you on a day-to-day basis, what are you doing to improve your bank balance, then you've got answers for me. If I was to say to you on a day-to-day basis, what are you doing to improve the assets that you've got, your worldly assets, then you're doing something about it. And you're planning it. You think, this Saturday I'll work because it's double time, this Sunday I'll work because I can get double time, this next Monday I'll do this, next Tuesday I'll do this. You'll plan ahead. You not only plan ahead for the next day, for the next week, you plan away for months, maybe even for years, of how you're going to benefit yourself financially. But what planning do you put in place to benefit your akhirat? What are you doing to plan, to look for opportunities to improve your akhirat? What good deeds are you aiming to do in the next day, in the next week, in the next month? How many people that are here today have made the intention that inshaAllah I will travel in the Madri Kafla, and made this intention firmly, that I'm going to travel in the Madri Kafla, and I've planned a date and I'm going to stick to that date? How many people are making these firm intentions and planning this so that we're utilizing our time properly? The great leader of millions of Shafis, Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, said, "I remained in the company of pious people for a long time, gaining spiritual benefits. I learned two important things from the company. Time is like a sword. You should cut it with good deeds, or else it will cut you by indulging you in useless deeds." Number two, safeguard your nafs. If you do not keep it busy in a good deed, then it will indulge you in an evil deed. Amir-e-Sunnat Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may Allah Azza keep his shadow upon us. He says, do the things you should be doing, otherwise you'll end up doing the things you shouldn't be doing. And if you think about it, if you keep yourself busy, you know, in our life, you have to do something. Yes, you have to rest. But if you are doing something, whatever you are doing, make sure that whatever you are doing is something good. Because if what you are doing isn't, if you are keeping yourself from doing something good, then ultimately you'll start doing something bad. And that time, like we said earlier on, will disappear. The renowned commentator of the Holy Quran, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Ramadullahi Ta'ala, said, by Allah Azza wa Jalla, having to leave at religious activities at the time of eating food and saddens me severely, because time is a valuable asset. Allahu Akbar. This person is saying that that time that I use in eating food, that time is wasted because I'm not acquiring the knowledge of the deen. That time is wasted because I'm not passing on the knowledge of the deen. But nowadays when we eat, we don't think, well, 15 minutes to eat. These pious people, when the Nigrani Shura came here, and he said to us that my day, I stipulate how long I'm going to eat. I work out that I need 15 minutes to eat my meal. And he plans his whole day. And this is the tarbiyah that he got from Amir al-Sunnah, that he plans his time. This is eating time. This is reading time. This is studying time. This is ibadah time. To make a jadwal, to make a plan in your life. Not just a plan for all of your life, but a plan for your daily life. Those people look successful. I know people that are in their houses, they have literally on the walls, 9 o'clock I'm going to do this, 10 o'clock I'm going to do this, 11 o'clock I'm going to read Quran, 12 o'clock I'm going to learn some du'as, 1 o'clock I'm going to do this, 2 o'clock I'm going to do this, 4 o'clock I'm going to do this, 6 o'clock I'm going to do this. What do? We just think, okay, when it comes, we'll see. We don't plan anything. But in the dunya, we plan everything. But again, for the akhirah, you don't. Sayyidina Imam Abu Zakariya bin Sharif Nawawi never used to waste time, neither during the day nor during the night, to the extent that he would either be reading or revising a book even whilst coming or going somewhere. This way he spent many years in seeking Islamic knowledge. He had divided his time. All his time would be spent in righteous activities. He had fixed times for writing books, for teaching, for offering nawafil, for reciting the Holy Quran, pondering over the matters of the hereafter, and conveying the call to righteousness and forbidding from evil. Planning your time, utilizing your time. You see people at bus stops in this country reading novels. Yeah? And it made me think that these people, they're sitting there at the bus stop reading a novel, or they're on the train reading a novel. Yeah? How many Muslims do you see them when they're at the bus stop reading an Islamic book? How many Muslims do you see when they're on the train reading an Islamic book? Yet you see people reading novels and reading magazines and reading newspapers and reading all these things. But what is the benefit to you hereafter? You're utilizing that time to read, but you're not utilizing that time to read something that will benefit you. So my dear Islamic brothers, we need to utilize our time properly and value our time. Plan our time and use it in the best possible way. Otherwise that time will get wasted. So my dear Islam brothers, please make a change in your life. You come here to the weekly Ishtama, you come here with a good intention to learn something, to make a change in your life, to value that time. So please make a change. Come to these weekly Ishtamas, travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Madani Kaflas. Make a change in acquiring the knowledge of the deen and learning the Quran by attending the Madrasat al-Madina Balighan classes. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I have said today. Me, you, the ability to pass on this message today. And me and you, the ability to act upon this message today. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen.